you missed the Wizards GM, Will Dawkins, on with us earlier on the show, we'll play it back for you later on this hour. He was really good talking about the three players they added in the draft, Trey Johnson at six, and Ben Standing, I know, is excited about the Wizards draft. He misses the Wizards beat. Not really. We'll talk football team here in a moment, but I'm curious, what did you think about what the Wizards did with Trey Johnson, with Will Riley, and with Jameer Watkins, the three picks? Do you have a strong opinion on what they did?
Not in terms of like the players, like it's just, you know, these guys, all the one and done stuff, it's just, you know, so hard to figure out. Trey Johnson was obviously an excellent shooter, but conceptually, yeah, I continue to like what they're doing. You know, you're taking as many, the whole, you know, they don't label it. It's not called the process, right? But the point of the process is to get as many dart throws as you can to find talent. And that's what they're doing right now. And, you know, I don't have any issue with that. I mean, the kid they took in the second round last night, Watkins, he's 24 years old. That is young in real term. All their other young guys are like 20 and younger. Like he's the old man of the group at 24. So they are, you know, it's a long process, but I'm good with it. I do think, you know, we all lamented about the fact that they didn't at the lottery get, you know, the first or second pick. I mean, now it turns out even getting the sixth pick was one spot too far if you wanted Ace Bailey, seeing as how he would have been there at five, presumably. But it is what it is. Trey Johnson's a pretty good consolation prize, and yeah, they just keep adding pieces.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't the consolation prize. I was more on Trey Johnson than I was Ace Bailey, but, you know, this is a matter of opinion, and nobody really knows about any of these guys.
Yeah.
I did ask yesterday on the show, Chase, about the, you know, reports that the Wizards were interested in trading up. He thought that those reports were true, and he thought that more likely than not, it was, you know, maybe for Harper or VJ Edgecombe to get up, you know, into that area of the draft. Dylan Harper, I would have loved to have seen here. I like the kid from Baylor too, but they have been aggressive, you know, trading up. It's like five drafts. I was talking about this yesterday. Tell me if you agree. The Koulibaly draft, the three first rounders last year, the two picks in the second rounder this year. They've got a lot more picks next year in what is thought to be a loaded draft once again, especially at the top of it. And then maybe one more draft after that, but definitely four drafts. You'll end up with, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, you know, young players, and you hope that you have a real star and a really good two and three so that you can then start to look to contend or compete and win, probably starting in 2027 at the earliest. What do you say?
Yeah, I remember last year, the like a minute after they traded Denny Avdija to the Blazers in a deal that ultimately led them to get Bob Carrington, I tweeted, this is confirming to me that the Wizards are not really going to be in contention until like 2029 or 2028, maybe, if one of these rookies gets going. Because the reason you make that Denny Avdija trade, who's obviously a good player, is his timeline is not matching where they are. He's, you know, an older guy because he's been in the league. So they're trying to get everybody in the same timeline, which is now all these, you know, 20-year-olds. By definition, almost, the 20-year-olds are going to have to wait. You know, it's going to take a couple of years for them to get going unless they get somehow land a guy who turns out to be a stud. You know, the Thunder were the youngest team in the league this year, but, you know, at least SGA has been in the league for a minute. All the other guys are fairly young, but SGA, excuse me, has been around a little bit. So, you know, the Wizards need, I mean, they need a lot still. But, yeah, I agree. This is, I mean, this year they have to finish bottom eight in order to keep their first-round pick. And then after that, you know, these guys will still only be like 20 and 21 and such. So, yeah, they've got a little ways to go here. But everything is pointing in the right direction. And, you know, I'm not paying for tickets, so I totally get it. If that's, you know, people are frustrated because they want to see wins. But, you know, hopefully you can get excited about, you know, watching, it's like, you know, watching expensive, you know, AAA. to a degree, but you know, hopefully they get you know, some of these guys continue to improve and show they can be, you know, high rotation pieces.
You know, you mentioned somebody, and I was a big fan of his upside. They traded Denny Avdija. Denny Avdija, by the way, is just 24 years old, believe it or not. He had an unbelievable finish. Once he got completely healthy and was playing 30-some minutes a game, he averaged 26 and 12, basically, over the last month and a half of the season in Portland. I actually have always felt about him and did feel about him watching him that he had, you know, a number three contributor sort of, you know, position on a contending team, a guy that would be on the periphery, if not, you know, make an all-star game. I know people told me I was crazy, and maybe I'm still crazy, but he's only 24, he's 6'9", he can handle it, his shooting has gotten better, and he just knows how to play. And I looked this up because I was following him during the regular season just to see what kind of season, and he just ended with a flourish. And once he started averaging 35 minutes a game instead of 25, he averaged 26 and 12, you know, not in like six assists. I mean, he was really good. Portland wasn't, but I think he's still got a chance to be a really, really good player. Before we get to any sort of football team conversation, stadium, RFK deal has been in the news. What is your thought on everything that's happened this week with, you know, Mendelsohn pulling it from the budget or threatening to pull it for the budget, and the vote on the stadium agreement that the city has, that the mayor cut with the team, may get delayed to August, may get delayed beyond that. The team isn't very happy about it. Where do you come down on all of this, on how it will play out?
Yeah, I mean, my general assumption, and then maybe this is my cynicism, is that this sounded to be like politics. Like, you know, look, we already knew that some people on the council, including Mendelsohn, didn't exactly love parts of this. But he even said, you know, right after that press conference with Josh Harris and Mayor Bowser a few weeks back, that, yeah, it's going to get done, but we got to go through the steps. So to me, it just feels like, on the surface, that they're saying, hey, look, to Josh Harris, we want to get this done, but if you want this done on the timeline that you want, we need to renegotiate here a little bit. You know, what they want to renegotiate, I don't know. I know there was a point that was made a few weeks back that, like, you know, I think the deal has the Commanders paying like a dollar, or rent like a dollar a year or something.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Nats, I think, are paying like $6 million or something. So I don't know what it would be, but, you know, the second they made, the Commander said they were going to, you know, wanted to do this, you know, it felt to me like the leverage shifted to DC. Again, not saying, you know, hopefully they're working together and they can find a good deal that makes sense for both. Now, if they really need to study this more, whatever that means, you know, literally read the documents or have, you know, hire somebody to, well, you know, I'm just like, whatever it is, that hire a group to, you know, do some more studying on this, you know, because it has only been a few weeks. Maybe there's something to that, but, you know, the Commanders have been pretty, you know, insistent that, hey, we need to get this done by, you know, that July 15th deadline for the DC budget, because, you know, 2030, if you want that to happen, that's, you know, it takes a while to get the ball rolling. They would get shovel in the dirt sometime next year and go from there. And, you know, we talk about it from the perspective of the Commanders, but they're also looking at it, all these other events they're trying to bring to the city, like the Women's World Cup in 2031. And, you know, it's hard. You're not going to be able to get groups to commit to showing up if you can't commit to you're going to have a stadium. So I think that's the rub. Again, I would imagine something gets done, but
the Women's,
you know,
World Cup. Well, I'll interrupt. Tommy just went nuts yesterday with me on the podcast. He's like, really? The Women's World Cup in 2031? That's what you're using as, you know, trying to create urgency? But the truth is, it is a big event, and it would be great for the city as much as it would be great for the team and everything that they would have invested in hosting that.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you know, Taylor Swift has not announced her 2030-2031 concert tour. You know, like, those things don't exist. A lot of the other events, like, say, the Final Four, you know, that's probably, they've already probably booked that, you know, beyond 2030 already. So, yeah, I mean, this is the next thing, and it's just, you know, an example of, hey, we want to start to do this. I mean, look, obviously, if they somehow didn't get that done, you know, I don't think it's, you know, the whole thing's not going to fall apart. But, you know, the larger point is they want to get this done. And, you know, in order to get this done by 2030, which is also, of course, for the football side of things, I mean, that's, you know, ultimately what the, you know, the primary goal is. Let's go. Well, you know, we you know, everybody's been waiting. Let's get this done. So we'll see. I can't even imagine what it would take for the deal to collapse to a degree that Harris would even consider going back to Maryland or staying in Maryland. So it's not that, I don't think. It's just, hey, you know, what are we doing here? But again, you know, DC has the right to, you know, shape the deal, and we'll see what they do.
Talking to Ben Standing at Ben Standing, that is, on X, on Twitter. Ben Standing writes for The Athletic, and he's got a really good podcast called Last Man Standing. So I just did a segment where, you know, no NFC East repeat winners, we all know, since 2004. So if the Eagles don't become the first since 2004 to repeat, who wins the division? Obviously, in this market, everybody's going to say Washington. Jordan Renan, who writes for the for ESPN.com, covers the Giants, actually picked the Cowboys. And if you look at the rosters, they're comparable. You know, the Dallas healthy, even the Giants roster is pretty impressive. But I won't ask you the same question. I'll just ask you this. Who's going to win the NFC East in 2025?
I mean, you know, it's hard to not say the Eagles, except for the fact that, as you just laid out, that repeat winners don't happen here. You know, it's certainly plausible that they have a bit of that, you know, Super Bowl champion hangover. Their team, you know, I think it's fair to say they got a little bit worse in the offseason just because they lost some guys, especially on the defensive line. They still are very talented, but I don't know. I mean, obviously Washington has, you know, Jaden Daniels, and they, you know, the momentum from last year. We all have questions about the defense, and we'll see. I think Dallas has a lot of, like, obviously high end talent. So, you know, they did make some additions this offseason that felt like they were sort of finally addressing some of their bigger needs that they didn't deal with last year. So, yeah, it wouldn't stun me if Dallas shot up. And I do think the Giants, like, their defense should be pretty good. That defensive line is going to be impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever Russell Wilson is, he's, you know, better than what they've had in recent years. So, look, I think all these teams to some degree could feel optimistic, but, you know, I'd have to go Philly. It's a lame analysis just to say, well, they just, you know, look what they did last year, but that kind of is my default until proven otherwise. It's hard for me to say the hangover until, you know, I get it, but we get to see them actually do some things. But, you know, I would say Philly, but I, you know, history says I'm way wrong by making that call.
Any feel for Terry McLaurin? Any update? Any, you know, anything you've learned, or are we just all waiting for right before camp?
I don't know if it's right before camp, but yeah, I think it's still, in my sense, is that it's still quiet at the moment. You know, I'm sure there's a contact going on to some degree, but I haven't heard anything that would, you know, tell me that it's, you know, we're going to have to talk about this on Monday or anything like that. So, you know, my stance has been, you know, wake me up when we get to training camp and, you know, players are reporting and he hasn't signed a deal. Then I start to get a little more concerned. But for now, I'm just, you know, similar to what we just talked about with the DC stadium stuff, like, this is part of the process. Everybody's got to, you know, do what they need to do to get the best deal. But, you know, I'd be stunned if they can't figure out how to some sort of common ground. We've talked about before, you know, unless Washington is putting a real emphasis on, you know, the age thing with him turning 30 this year, which, you know, for that position, you know, I understand the drop off can start somewhere around there, but he's shown no signs of that at all. So hopefully, I would think that can't be too big of a deal. But other than that, I would just imagine they eventually do get something done, you know, somewhere in that $30 million range. Maybe it's a little bit less, but that would be the range I keep looking at.
Yeah, me too. Right around 30 makes sense. And, you know, there's going to be a significant cash outlay for the team, the biggest one they've made for a player since they took over as owners of this team. But I was thinking that, you know, what if you got into some sort of protracted, you know, holdout? I don't see that happening. I think worst case is Terry just plays 2025 on the final year of his deal, and then the team can, you know, choose to franchise tag him next year or get him signed. I hope it doesn't come to that, because it never feels great. Especially in this situation, it wouldn't feel great if they didn't get a deal done. You know, it happens. Players go into their final year, play on their final year deal. But you agree, right, that if it did happen and he played just on the final year of his deal, that it would be kind of... It just wouldn't feel right. There are players that have done it in recent years after contract negotiations that haven't gone well, but this one just wouldn't feel right because of, I think, how much respect and how well-liked he is.
No, 100%. You know, if they're going to say they have a standard for the type of player they want, or not just a player, but the type of person they want, you know, I don't know how you'll look at Terry McLaurin and say, Here's the prime example. This guy, you know, he puts in the work. He speaks up when he needs to in the locker room. He helps players out. He's great in the community, and he's a hell of a player. And our quarterback, he's the go-to weapon for Jaden Daniels. So it would feel very odd if they didn't get things done. He could play it out, but you know, even with that, you know, they have, this is the problem why agents hate the franchise tag, because the Commanders can always be like, cool, we'll play it out, and if we want to, we'll just tag you next year. And, you know, there's nothing he can do. So, yeah, when you start to get to that situation, it becomes, you know, unsettling. You know, the player starts to lose some trust in the organization, and that's the absolute last thing you want here, because, again, what he represents in that locker room, for that guy to question what's going on in the building would be problematic. And, you know, I think that has to be factored into what they do, which is why I ultimately think it gets done. But yeah, no, if it does go along, a long way into, you know, into camp, but you know, that would be not good.
Let's assume Terry's in the fold and he's ready to play 2025 and everybody's happy. Who's the second leading pass reception guy on the team next year?
Good question. Well, I guess I'll say Deebo Samuel, but, you know, he's not going to be like a volume pass catcher. You know, he is not a traditional receiver. He's more of a gadget guy, plays in the slot, can play outside. But, like, you just find different ways to get him the ball. That's why he gets touches. But the other reason I would pick him is, you know, look, Noah Brown's history of his career is he does not stay healthy. And not that Deebo is a guy that's, you know, he's not Cal Ripken Jr., but, you know, plays a bit more. So if Noah Brown doesn't play the full season, misses, you know, X amount of games, you know, I don't see another wide receiver catching enough passes. I guess I could reframe that and say maybe it's Zach Ertz is number two. I forgot about him. Maybe Zach Ertz again. I hopefully he can stay healthy. So yeah, I guess we're talking number of catches. Yeah, I'll change my mind to Ertz, because he's, you know, even if they're, you know, underneath, you know, he obviously proved to be a really reliable target for Jaden last year, and he is more of a volume pass catcher based on what they did last year. So yeah, okay, I'm revising, I'll go with Ertz.
In San Francisco, he, I think, has only led the team in receptions once back in 21. It's been Ayuk and Kittle and McCaffrey who have consistently been ahead of him, or at least two of the three were ahead of him in San Francisco. But obviously, yardage and, you know, overall yardage, including some of his rushing yardage, has been a big deal. All right. Thanks for doing this. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Always, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. The all too early NBA mock drafts are out. This isn't something that you're probably waiting on in terms of the players that will be picked, but Who gets projected more than anybody else to pick number one in next year's NBA draft? I'll give you the answer when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.